Blissful mother, awakened mother, mother of being, mother beyond all form, great mother, harried mother, enraged mother, wounding mother, exhausted mother, grieving mother, unwed mother, divorced mother. Some of my finest moments as a human being have been in my role as mother, and so have some of my ugliest moments. Right now, in this evolution of my life as a mother and as a daughter, I am remarkably blessed. If you were witness to the Joy Fest last week of my installation, you could see some of that firsthand. My parents are not only still alive, but our relationship over the past 15 years or so has continued to grow deeper, to grow past and through some of our earlier hard times, to reach this tender level of knowing and love we share today. My kids might say the same thing. We have also continued to grow past and through the hard times. And in their adulthood, we have navigated into a deep knowing of each other. And those grandbabies and fur grandbabies are simply untethered joy. So it would be easy for me to look at Mother's Day through rose-colored lenses that tap into the hallmark holiday this day has become. Culturally, motherhood is held up as a pinnacle of womanhood. But the sentimentalized images and the mixed messages about women's lives that pervade popular culture are damaging to men and to women. And to folks whose identities don't fall neatly into the check boxes we have on forms. Heather Cox Richardson writes, "The reality of women's lives is being erased in favor of an image of women as mothers." If you Google the history of Mother's Day, the internet will tell you that Mother's Day began in 1908 when Anna Jarvis decided to honor her mother. She continues, and I also did that Google search. But Mother's Day, with the apostrophe not in the singular spot, but in the plural, actually started in the 1870s when the sheer enormity of the death caused by the Civil War and the Franco-Prussian War convinced American women that women must take control of politics from the men who had permitted such carnage. Mother's Day was not designed to encourage people to be nice to their mothers. It was part of women's effort to gain power to change modern society. My own Google search also revealed that Anna Jarvis's mother was part of those early post-Civil War years mothers' groups. She was one of the women Richardson writes about, women who had watched their men march off to war and were haunted by its results. They lost fathers, husbands, sons. The men who did come home were scarred in body and mind. Richardson continues, a reminder that feels so present even today. Modern war, the Civil War, it seemed, was not a game. But out of the war also came a new sense of empowerment. Women had bought bonds, paid taxes, raised money for the war effort, managed farms, harvested fields, worked in war industries, raised children, and nursed soldiers. When the war ended, they had every intention of continuing to participate in national affairs. Anna Jarvis spent years working to promote a day to honor mothers, to honor her mother. Yet after seeing how commercialized the holiday became in the 1930s and 40s, she spent the rest of her life trying to abolish the holiday. So on this Mother's Day 2022, what can we glean? Not only from the complex version of its origins, but on our relationship to the Divine Mother, to the Great Mother. The Daily Word used this Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The full text of Proverbs 31 might be seen as the original stereotype of the superwoman who does it all. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Rachel Held Evans, a progressive Christian writer who died in 2019 at the age of 37, left a rich legacy of her journey with sacred texts and her journey as a Christian woman, and what those texts hold for us today. In a blog post from May 2014, titled Three Things You May Not Know About Proverb 31, she instructs her readers that Proverb 31 is actually an acrostic poem. Each line begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. She writes, like any good poem, the purpose of this one is to draw attention to the often overlooked glory of the everyday. As a poem, Proverbs 31 should not be interpreted prescriptively as a job description for all women. Its purpose is to celebrate wisdom in action. Wisdom in action. Proverb 31 exhorts each of us, to live a life of valor. And valor isn't about what you do, but how you do it. She reminds us, if you are a stay-at-home mom, be a stay-at-home mom of valor. If you are a nurse, be a nurse of valor. If you are a CEO, a pastor, or a barista at Starbucks, if you are rich or poor, single or married, do all of it with valor. So here we are in 2022. The expectations for us in our culture may fit us well. I love being a mother. Or they may feel constricting and debilitating. My role as mother, as daughter, has shifted over the years. Our mothers may be the ones who taught us about valor in the everyday activities of life, or not. We face the same unthinkable scourges of war, of systemic injustices, of silencing of some voices, while our culture elevates the voices of the few and the powerful. In the face of all of that, as people of faith, how are we called to lives of valor? As people who believe we are created by the source of love and life in the image of goodness, can we hold that image as one that encompasses the divine feminine and the sacred masculine and the rich multiplicity of individual human expression of the divine? And see how we are called to lives of valor. Are we empowered to speak out when we see injustice? Do we face our own warlike tendencies that create fear and destruction in our own relationships? Are we called to use our gifts wisely in the service to our communities and in stewardship of the earth? Do we see each moment of our everyday lives as a prayer of thanks? The easy answer is yes, but the living out of our truth is not always easy or simple. It is the work of our lifetimes. So today, we honor those who show us the way to a life of valor and unconditional love. Our mothers, our fathers, our teachers and mentors, our children, our beloved friends who become families that we gather along the way. We recognize that today is a day of rejoicing for some and a day of heartache for others. And in all of it, we trust that we are a living, breathing, loving cell in the one body of the great Mother, Father, Creator. There's a beautiful book called Wild Mercy by Mirabai Starr that celebrates the voices of women mystics from across traditions. She closes with a beautiful poem. You know there had to be a poem for you today, called Love Song to the Great Mother. Beloved one, our sister, Mother Earth, sacred woman, holy girl, crucible of mercy and fire of truth, thank you. We have called you and you have come. You descend on the wings of pain, the wings of joy, bringing solace and vitality. You rise through the roots of the trees, spreading shelter, offering refuge. You enter through the cries of the young, demanding protection for the vulnerable. Even as we bow before your beauty, you affirm the beauty of our bodies. You bless every particle of creation with your divine presence. We welcome you who have lived long enough in exile to dwell among us again. We offer ourselves as your loving stewards, your beloved reluctant prophets, radiant reflections of your own sacred self. Thank you. Thank you, and again we give thanks. Let's pause in our thanks for a moment of silence, recognizing all this day holds for us and resting in the arms of the Great Mother.